golly, it was years and years and years and years and years and years and years ago. It was like right as soon as Judah started talking. So he was probably, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. Yes, sir. Oh, he's just waving. So, I went looking through old videos yesterday because I wanted to find just a clip of this. But we had videos of so many other things, and we got distracted. Jess is, she's out of town with her mom this week, and so I was down there. I called the boys down. I was like, hey, guys, come down. We saw the cats when they were kittens, like, you know, the only time that a cat's... well, they're good cats. The boys enjoy them, and they don't have to clean up their, you know... But we looked through, we saw all sorts of videos from when they were just little bitty guys. But I could not find a video of this, so I don't know if we ever got it captured. It was kind of one of those things where he did it so often that I didn't think to pull out a camera and grab it. And it was one of those, you know, dad moments, you know, where I was like, oh, I got, you know. And he would, we had some, I don't know how it ever started. But there was one thing where he would hit his elbow, and he'd go, ow, 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 ow. And then from that came, I told him, I said, you cry. And he'd look at me and just, you cry. And we'd just go back and forth. You cry. And I was like, oh man, I got my sports guy, but he's my music guy, which is cool. It's just, you know, with that kind of, I thought, okay, here he goes. And then, you know, you never know which way they're going to sprout and grow, which is awesome. I get a chance to go and watch him play some cymbals in the marching band today and tomorrow. But that was just always something that it was really funny. We had that just, and it didn't always have to start with the ow, ow, ow. That kind of faded. And then it was just, you cry. And, you know, when something would happen or he'd, you know, fall or whatever, and I'd say, you cry. He'd look at me, you cry. So I thought that was funny. And that was, you know, in jest, but... You know, we have times where we mourn, where we cry, and it's not an ow 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 joke. It's real. There's tears for real reasons, all sorts of different reasons. I want to get a quick list here from you guys of reasons why we cry. Now, not the good cry, not like crying because you laugh so hard you're crying, that type of crying, or crying because you saw something beautiful, But the times when it's bad crying, you know, sorrow, mourning, you know, grief. I'll go on and start us so that no one has to bring this up. Here, we'll do it. I thought this was my good pen. That's not looking like it's a great pen. So, we just had a couple funerals recently. So the passing of a loved one. Lots of tears shed during times like that. So I knew that would come up, but I wanted to get that there so no one had to bring it up. So other reasons why we cry. Hurt feelings. Feelings. Got me in the feels. Man, this is disappointing. I didn't store it like this. It was laying on its side, so that's the problem. Fear. Where was that? I heard it. There we go. Okay, sir. Fear. Yes. Injury. So hurt feelings, hurt parts. So injury. Anger. Ooh, yeah. I've been that angry. You know, it's just disappointment. What? Loss of a pet. Okay, loss of a loved one, passing of a loved one, pet, disappointment, Chuck just wanted to see if I could spell this morning. I don't know if that's right or not, but it's close. Emotions. That's good. I'm looking for the other ones. That's crying because something's so beautiful. So, yes.
You cry when you see others crying.
I can go with that one. Ooh. You guys are getting some good ones. Sickness? Yeah. And that's like all kinds, you know, that phone call, you know, when you get the test results back and you find out something's not right, some blood level's not right, you got to come in for extra stuff, or yeah, Jim's like, yeah, I know that phone call. What? War? Where was it? Yeah. Hot topic right now, too. Okay, so violence, killing, election results or what is that? What could encompass all of that? Just put stupid people. What would grab all of
loneliness?
Yes. L-I, right? Loneliness. Longingness. So what was I doing? I was thinking of the I don't know. I'm trying to think of. So that might capture some of the political stuff, all the stuff. What's all the, they go under the guise of protest. What's the word I'm looking for? They haven't been protests. What the protests have, riots, there we go. So that would kind of fit under the society woes. And these are really good. Anything else? What, ma'am? Ooh. Well, I'll do verbal. But really, any abuse. You know, just, there's a lot of abuse that happens out there. It's awful. I'm feeling pretty rough just looking at the list. I might need to turn that around. You know, we see those things. And there's no one in here that would look at anything that we've listed and go, no, that's not a real good reason. No, those are real good reasons. And I want you to notice something, that every one of those reasons on the board are linked to sin. Hurt feelings, injury, fear, the empathy. If someone else wasn't mourning because of one of the other reasons, you wouldn't be mourning with them. So that's why that was kind of a healthy thing, but it's a result of this. Anger, disappointment, sickness, death, violence, loneliness, abuse, stupid people, all this. Do you see it? Every single one of those are the result of sin. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of blessings. As Jesus ushered in the kingdom of heaven, it was imperative to his followers that they correctly cultivate the ability to receive and recognize God's blessings in their lives. The beauty of the Beatitudes is that in 8 simple statements, Jesus shares gifts or blessings that help us to see, help us to experience how blessed it is to be in the kingdom of heaven. And in this series, we're looking at 4 elements associated with each of these Beatitudes. We're looking at a behavior pattern, a character trait, a kingdom mindset, and a kingdom promise. All of these elements, they are gifts and blessings of their own. And these gifts and blessings help us to see other gifts and blessings in the kingdom. We are blessed because we're part of this kingdom. As members of this kingdom, we should see and experience constantly God's blessing in our lives. And so we have called this title, or we've called the series, Blessed. We're on the second beatitude, and it reads, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And this week, as we are looking at the same, we're looking at the same 4 elements, but we're going to be in a little bit different order from last week. Today, we're going to be looking at the kingdom mindset first. And as we have listed here, just a variety of, I mean, these are deep. There are very few of those that come near the surface. And every single one of those reasons that we mourn, we cry, we suffer through grief, every one of those are connected and linked to sin. So let's write this down. This is our kingdom mindset from this beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn. My soul will mourn when I understand that sin is the underlying cause of all the pain in the world. My soul will mourn when I understand that sin is the underlying cause of all of the pain in the world. At the triumphant entry, when people were crying out in worship, singing Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, we're told that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples." Jesus said this back. He said, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out." You know, from that and many other different little things in Scripture, I believe that all of creation, the squirrels in the woods and the little bunnies and the deer and the birds out in the trees, even the fish swimming in the water, that they praise God. Not the same way we would worship Him, because we praise Him for our salvation, but He is their creator. And I'm an animal person. I know there are numerous people here that are animal people. They have a conscious mind. They understand things that are going on. Yesterday, our dog, so my wife's out of town, and she's like, the dog's like this with her, you know, and so she's out of town, and so the dog's following us around, and then fireworks started up, and that scares her. So she was in the bathroom hiding, and she was trying to climb into, like, to lay, I don't know what her idea was, but she was trying to get into my wife's sea of shoes in the closet. And I thought, what are you going to do if you get in there? And I don't want you, you know, rooting through all the shoes, because I would not know how to fix it after she got in there. So with those things, I have to assume that these animals in creation, and when I hear the birds singing, and you guys know I've become a bird person, and when I hear the birds singing, and their little chirps and tweets and whatnot, I just hear that and I'm like, man, there's some where they're calling out to each other, or different things that they do with the calls, and we read about, you know, or we see about on Discovery or Nature TVs or whatnot, and but I have to believe that some of that is praising their creator. That's just me. And I'm going to share something with you. A moment that I had, and I don't know if you're going to get it with me, because it's a little, I don't know, I felt like it was a little strange. And I was like, I'll probably never share that with anybody. And now here I am sharing it with the world through the internet. I remember standing out there at our back door, and my birds, their cages are right here to my right, and I heard all these birds out there singing, and I've got a pretty strong bond with these guys. So I mean, the one when I was sick last year, and I just could not stop coughing. Well, during that month, she started plucking her feathers because of that connection, you know. And I'm looking out, and I'm seeing all this and hearing all these birds, and I'm thinking about my birds, and I got teary-eyed. I was like, we messed this up for you guys. The birds didn't sin. You know, the platypus didn't sin, you know, in the garden. It was man that sinned. And with our sin, all of the physical creation was corrupt. We read about this in Romans chapter 8. He says, for the creation waits in eager expectation. The idea of that is this whole, you know, type of motion where you're leaning in. For eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Now, this is obviously the creation is not talking about the children of God, which is us. The creation is everything separate from us. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice. The birds didn't sin, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. The sin of humans caused the whole physical world to receive a curse. And it's not until the completion of our salvation, which is what that passage is talking about how we'll be revealed, the completion of our salvation, it's only at that point when the world will be free of the curse that we brought on it. The sin of humans has affected the entire physical world. How can that not make your soul mourn? When we see and we look around and we see all this pain, we see the intense harm done through abuse of any kind and how long that lasts. We see families and friends that have experienced firsthand events like the elementary school shooting this past week. Numerous others we've seen at the college in Grayson, Kentucky. When I went to college in 1993, and I believe it was earlier that year. So I went in the fall of 93 was when I went to school. And in January of 93, right there, and this was one of the first ones, so you probably didn't hear about it, but East Carter High School in Grayson, Kentucky. One of the students came in, took a shot at the teacher, pulled a gun out in a class, took a shot at the teacher, missed. She said, "What are you doing?" He popped her, dropped her, dead. Some of the students in that school came to the college, and I got a chance to see firsthand. Some of them, there was a girl that was in that classroom, and she was in therapy for many, many, many years after witnessing that and seeing that. And we see family and friends that experienced firsthand the effects of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and then we've seen plenty of ripples that ripple out from the sin of that day. We see substance abuse of all kinds, drugs, alcohol, but not limited to those. We see the abuse of food all around us, and the debilitating ripples that are associated with weight gain. We see greed and envy and jealousy. The degradation of people through sexual sin, where people who were made in God's image are transformed into an object. We see the effects of anger and rage and hate, racism, misguided protest groups, slander and words that cut deeper than any sword or knife could go. We see many different personal prisons and destructive behavior as a result of the deceptive nature of sin. And we look at this and we know there's one central thing to blame. We know every bit of this is because of sin. Man's sin. Romans 5:12 says, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. So this isn't just an Adam problem. It's not just someone that's sitting near you or some neighbor that you don't get along with or someone, you know, at work or at school that's just the devil incarnate. No, this is an us problem. All have sinned. And as Christians, we should be aware of this. And this draws us to be people that are blessed because we mourn. Because we mourn because of all this. This brings us to our second element this morning, our character traits. As we understand and realize and reflect on that everything that causes pain in the world is under the umbrella of sin, then that should cause something different inside of us. And this creates a character change, hopefully for Christians, those who mourn because of this. The word I have, well, it's already up, good job, is sin sensitivity. Sin sensitivity. And I chose that because I was thinking of the opposite, because we get desensitized, don't we, to sin. And I just rattled off just a list of them. Just for example, greed, envy. How many of us ever feel the need to repent of greed and envy? I'd guess not too many of us. If we're really honest, how many of us have struggled with greed and envy? I think that would be every one of us, because we're Americans. It's one of the negative things that follow along with a capitalist world. There's a lot of positive things, but you have to be careful. Greed and envy, they come out of that. And I don't believe we think of repenting about those things, because we look around the world and we've been desensitized that those are sins. They are destructive sins. We say something like, you know, violence or killing or any kind of these abuses or sexual sin. We are, oh, those are sins. Wanting more? Being jealous of what your neighbor has? Well, that's just normal. No. That's a sin. And that's, we have become desensitized to sin. And so as Christians, as we realize this, we are blessed because we mourn, because we are more sensitive to the sin around us. Some of you might be thinking, well, how is that blessed? That sounds like we're getting worse. We'll get there. You know, when Jesus and John the Baptist ushered in the kingdom of heaven, they said, blank to blank, for the kingdom is near. Rejoice, because the kingdom is near. Is that what it was? No? Is it, be excited, be happy, that's all rejoice to. Go hide, because the kingdom is near. You know? Does anybody remember what they said? Repent. Repent, for the kingdom is near. That was John the Baptist and Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom is near. When we really reflect on the fact that sin is the single underlying cause of all that causes pain, misery, that separates us from God and his ways, when we really reflect on that, it should cause us to mourn at our soul's level, and that mourning should create in us a sin sensitivity in the midst of sin all around us. The opposite of being desensitized, to be sensitized. Blessed are those who mourn, because they see sin for what it is, and that is so very important. Because how are you going to avoid something if you don't understand what it is? How are you going to stay away from something if you don't have clear markers and understand this is deceptive, this is destructive, this hurts, this is evil, this is against anything that God stands for, this is unholy? And if we don't understand that, if we don't mourn over it, we lose the markers. And that understanding, that sin sensitivity, that brings about a behavioral change. And we bring in this idea of a behavioral pattern that should be involved in all Christians. So write this down. I will be motivated to be more disciplined to sin less. I've heard it said, I've shared this with you guys before, Christians aren't sinless, but they definitely should sin less. Blessed are those who mourn. For us to understand all that we do about sin, we should be motivated to fight against it. To enter each battle with sin well-armed and prepared for a fight. We belong to the new creation, not the old one. And then we have this kingdom promise that goes with this. Blessed are those who mourn. For what? They will be comforted. Not just in the future hope realized, but in the present hope that endures. We have both. We have an assurance of a future, and our hope is in that future, but we also have a hope that exists today because we have been washed of our sins. We have been cleansed, and with that, our consciences have been cleansed. We're comforted with the hope that we will exit this world of sin, and we are comforted that we have a clean conscience while living in a fallen world, while living in a sinful world. Hebrews writer, he says, or she says, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, so. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death? So that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Even though we mourn the effects of sin in our world, we have a hope. And we see the hope more clearly when we see what we're saved from more clearly. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, I did not prep this, so I'm going to be a little fuzzy on this story, but a lady came to Jesus. I'm trying to think of where she was. If she was washing his feet, I believe she was. You can check me on this one. And she was crying. And Jesus said that she was forgiven. And then, who will feel it more, who will understand it more, is something there. As I said, I didn't prep this. The person who sinned a little or the person who sinned a lot, this person's going to be more grateful. And I don't think it's so much a question of who sinned less or more, but if we'd all realize, we'd all understand. Everybody's looking for that. We would all understand that we desperately need the salvation, the clean conscience that comes only through Jesus Christ. And that comes through mourning, through having this clear recognition of what sin is. And then we're all like that woman, where we learn that we've been forgiven a lot, and so we love a lot, instead of thinking we've only been forgiven of a little and then loving a little. Blessed are those who mourn. My soul will mourn when I understand that sin is the underlying cause of all the pain in the world. We will develop a character trait of being more sensitive to sin, have a sin sensitivity. And from that, The goal is to develop in our behavior patterns where our patterns are more motivated to sin less, to be more disciplined with our life. And we have the comfort of knowing that we will be comforted here as we struggle, and in the future when we finally exit this world of sin. Pray with me. Father, thank you for comforting us. Father, a tough subject, but a needed one. We thank you so much for saving us from all of this that we see, that your grace is enough. As we sung this morning about your amazing grace, Father, I ask that you help us as your children to see clearly the world in front of us and what lies underneath all of the pain and sorrow and grief. And then that would move us and motivate us to live differently, to be more grateful of our salvation, to be more thankful for the cross. Father, I pray that in these times when it really hits home, that we would understand that with this soul level of mourning comes the true comfort from you. Sometimes sin in our world around us can be very overwhelming. And we need to hear the second part of this beatitude. Father, I ask that all of us here would feel that comfort, would connect with it, and that the reality of your love and your grace and your mercy would be just as clear as all of the misery and evil in the world around us. Thank you so very much for your saving grace. Thank you for giving us an escape out of a world filled with sin and a promise that all things will be made new. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dave's on it. Was I close? Or did you find it? Still not finding it. Tough. Tough subject, but I think a very important subject. Of these eight Beatitudes. They're little simple little statements, but there's so much to reflect on. And that's why we're just taking one at a time. And some of you might have thought when we started, and you're like, really, a sermon on each Beatitude? We're two in. Maybe now you're starting to go, okay, I get it. Yeah, these are thick. And they're so poignant for our life. Don't let these pass by. You know, this week, same thing as last week. Take this beatitude and let it be something you reflect on, that you meditate on through this week. They're so short, they're so easy. By the time we get done with 8 weeks, you could have all eight of them memorized. And what a healthy thing is we unpack these and you see how powerful and potent they are. If you can just take each week and memorize the one from that week. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You quote that when you wake up in the morning. You quote that at lunch. You quote that at dinner. You quote that before you go to bed at night. And you do that every day this week. And you see how your life changes. You see how you start to live a little differently. How you see things more clearly. How you're actively avoiding sin, where on a normal week, you probably wouldn't have even seen it around you because we're so desensitized to it. So let me challenge you to do that. And that'll be the challenge for all eight of these. Just take them and say them through the week and see what the power of Scripture. I've shared this with you guys before, that sometimes there have been a number of times, probably more than half, it's probably into a majority of when people come and they're sharing with me different things that they're going through or whatnot. And as I listen, a common practice for me is to prescribe Scripture like a doctor would give a medicine, you know, to go down to Walgreens and pick this up or CVS or whatnot. And whatever they're going through, whatever they're dealing with, I'll give them some scripture. And I'll say, hey, take this and reflect on it. Meditate on it 3 times a day. Take this 3 times a day for 7 days or for 14 days. And then come back to me and see how that's helped. And when people do that, scripture is powerful. And it can help bring so much to our lives. So let me encourage you. I'll give you a little preacher prescription. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. 4 times a day. Next 5 days, take Saturday off if you want to. And see how things change for you.